Luke chapter 15 here tonight. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and this is, of course, a very well-known passage, the passage about the prodigal son. And I'm not implying or suggesting anything with regard to Paul. This is in his honor here tonight, nothing like that. But in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we pray that you'll bless here tonight as we've come together for something of a celebration, Father, and a graduation, and one of our own graduating, and this family moving off for a year or so to be with Chris. We pray that you will remember them and Paul as he's back here taking care of his service duties and so on. We pray that you'll bless the rest of the service tonight to everyone's heart that's here. We pray that you would meet every need and point out our foibles and what we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if there are any prodigal sons or daughters here tonight. That's really, frankly, not the point. Like I said, I'm not trying to say anything or insinuate anything about Paul graduating. I don't think that he's headed for a fall or any such thing. But the fact of the matter is getting ready for tonight here through this week, what I was contemplating is, a young man weighing anchor, setting sail, and basically sallying forth into life, and, what all that means and all. And when I started thinking about that, for some reason, I started thinking about this prodigal son who decides to sally forth and weigh anchor and set sail. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized something. And what I realized is that you couldn't ask for a better manual of how not to set sail in life than right here. You couldn't possibly do things more wrong than the prodigal son did things. Nobody has ever improved his methods for doing the wrong thing. So it struck me that, if I could identify all that he did wrong, I also know what he could have done right. And so I wanted to preach a relatively short message tonight on the prodigal's alternative. The prodigal's alternative. Now, I know that he had a brother that stayed home, and that also was an alternative. You know that by the time you get to the end of this chapter, that brother had some of his own issues as well. So it's not really just the brother that stayed home I'm talking about here tonight, but I want to talk for a while about the prodigal's alternative. Now, there's a couple of things you can see real fast. If you go down to verse 11, you read, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, I want to say before I tell you what the prodigal's alternative was, I want to tell you what his mistake was here in this particular juncture. This prodigal begins his sentence with, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me. It's me. It's mine. It's selfishness, right?
and give me the portion of good. And a lot of times it seems to boil down to material things, but he says, give me what's mine. Now, I don't know if how you read the verse, but I don't read the verse where he's particularly pleasant or polite or courteous. I read this as a demand. I read this as this prodigal son stepping up to his old father and saying, I want it. It's mine. It's legally mine. I want it now. You better get the lawyer on the phone because I want mine now as soon as possible. I read it that way. And in the end, here's this the father's labor and all of the father's planning. The father's love, the father's blood, sweat and tears have gone into his sons, both of those boys, those sons living. And here is this kid. And he says, I want my portion. I want it now. And I'm going to do what I want to do with it. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know what that is? That is a commandeered portion. He says, give me the portion of goods. He basically demanded it. And when the father handed it over, he snatched it to his bosom and headed off and flew to the far country just as fast as he could get to the far country. He commandeered that portion. Now, you know what, folks? Many is the young man, the young woman who reaches their 18th or 19th or 20th birthday, and they take some of the father's portion that he's given them, maybe a car and maybe some clothes and maybe some odds and ends of various accessories and so on that most kids have in a house. They take the education that the father footed for. But more than anything else, they take that father and that mother's provision through the years. Their love, their time spent by a baby's bedside when it's sick, the nights of prayer, of worry, the disciplinary actions, all of the planning, all the prudence, all the blood, all the sweat, all the tears, and all the things that goes into raising a kid. And they commandeer those things and fly as quickly as they can to a far country. And you know, by the same token, many is a Christian as well. And they take their salvation, and they take their eternal security, and they take their spiritual gifts. And they take this vessel. They take these members, right? They take those spiritual gifts, and they take the grace of God and the latitude, the liberty of God in Christ, and they take those things and they snatch them and they run as fast as they can to the far country. That's what the prodigal son did. That was his first mistake. That was his first great mistake. Brethren, like Paul said, I show you a better way. I show you a better way. You know what he did? He commandeered his portion. But there's a better way. There's an alternative. You know what the alternative is? The alternative is a bestowed provision. And what I mean by a bestowed provision is, you know, that prodigal son did not have any needs in his father's house. When he was home with his father, he did not have any needs that were unmet. He was provided for. All that he had in his father's house was wants and a wild hair. Right? And, you know, the idea with staying home there, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. When you get saved and become a Christian, all of your discontentedness is not necessarily over, because I got news for you. Your Heavenly Father is not going to provide for all of your lusts and all of your desires and all of your wants. And there's a couple of really good reasons. Because if He ever starts, there's no end to it. If there's one thing that sinners and saints alike have proven, is that there is no end to your wants and your lusts and your desires. That is one of the great and deceitful things about sin. The other thing, in all frankness, is that those things are not worthy to be provided for, in all frankness. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that that is what you lived for before you were saved. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh and fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind and were by nature the children of wrath. Psalm 37 says the difference is that you are to delight thyself also in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. More and more as life goes by, I am convinced that it's not talking about He's going to give me what I want. He's going to give me new wants. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say here that the prodigal son's first terrible mistake was trying to commandeer that portion. Take it and run and abuse it. And you know the other side of it, you know his alternative? His alternative was a bestowed provision. His alternative was to stay in the Father's house where God would give him what he needed when he needed it, in the portion that he needed it, in the way that he needed it, when he needed it, as he needed it, as it would benefit him, when he could handle it, in proper measure, in proper portion, without all the impediments of I want, I want, I want, I want. He would have been better to take the alternative. Because this is the mistake that put him on the road that led straight down to the pigsty. I want you to see something else along this line. It says in verse 12, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I want you to see, before I tell you what his alternative was, I need you to see the next mistake. The first mistake was a commandeered portion. The next mistake is a low and a mean and a vulgar motive. A low and a mean and a vulgar purpose. It says down there in verse 13 that he wasted his substance with riotous living. When he finally comes back home, his brother, I suppose, tells the truth down in verse 30 when he says to his father, "This kid hath devoured thy living with harlots." Okay? Now, you know, he left home. That kid left home with nothing but dirt in his mind and mischief in his heart. Oh, the world was his apple, wasn't it? Oh, he was going to go and kick the world in the tail end because he knew what he was doing. As a matter of fact, he was quite a gift to the world, wasn't he? Oh, he was going to go set the world on fire and he was going to get his. And the activities that he participated in, the friends that he hung out with, those friends called what they did together fun. And there was talk of sowing wild oats. There was talk of things like experiencing life and a quest for finding oneself and such things. But the fact of the matter is, and just boil down, all of those were pseudonyms for sin, when it all boiled down. And you know, this guy goes off and when it really boils down, all that he wanted to do was go out in the world and sin and have a means to sin. And so it is with many a prodigal child. I mean, just a human son or a human daughter. And for that matter, so it is with a Christian so many times. Folks, you know, there's something that I learned in the Christian life. I have to watch myself like a hawk. And you better watch you too, because you know what? If you're not careful, your motives will be no better than the world's motives in the end. In the end, you still have the same fallen desires, and many is the Christian. You know, one of the differences between Christians and lost people many times is that Christians have learned how to use theological excuses. They make theological excuses about their sin. They say that they have liberty. They say that they have grace. And they talk about the hypocrites in the church and so on. And they basically just justify themselves theologically. But you know, folks, if you want to know the truth, this prodigal son made a terrible, terrible mistake. Because not only did he commandeer his portion, but he went forth into that world with a vile and a vulgar motive, just to go sin. He just wanted to sin. Now, you know what? He had an alternative. And you know what the alternative was? The alternative is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, when it talks about the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. You know, I know what this kid lived for. He lived for the flesh. He lived to feel good. He lived for fun. He lived for the party. But you know what? The party starts to wear off after a few years. And after a while, you know, you play that game for a little while, and the first 10 parties, and the first 20, and the first 30, perhaps the first 40 or 50, perhaps the first 5, 10, 15 years of it, you know, it's all good and fine. After a while, you know what? It just becomes an empty habit. And ladies and gentlemen, there are folks that live out of habit for nothing, basically, but emptiness. It is a vanity. Folks, there is a higher calling in life. There is a higher commission than your happiness. Folks, there is a much grander God than you. There's a much grander God than your pleasures or your flesh or yourself. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. It really, really is. And there is something to live for besides the next high, besides the next party, besides the whatever you want to say. Well, I wanted you to see something else. Not only was his alternative, first of all, a bestowed provision in time when he needed it, as he needed it, in the portions that he needed it, as God saw fit, but also a high calling. Not a low calling, not a vulgar calling, not just a fun calling, but a high calling. I want you to see something else. Notice down in verse 13 that this didn't end it. This, as I said, this young man did everything wrong you could do wrong. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. I wanted you to note there that it was his journey. You see that? It was his journey. That is a terrible mistake. You know, folks, I'm not here tonight to emphasize particularly the prodigal son's mistakes. I'm actually here to emphasize to you the prodigal son's alternatives, which are quite positive. But I first need you to understand the mistakes that he made. You know what the Bible said? The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This kid made a terrible mistake. He left and went on his journey. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We did it our way. You know, sheep are silly. You know, sheep just follow their silly noses out to greener grass and greener grass still. And they look up one day and they're nowhere in sight of any shepherd. And here come the wolves. You know, they're just not very prudent. And they get that way by doing nothing but following their bellies and following their noses. You know, everybody here would understand. I mean, I think we have an air traffic controller in the house here tonight. You know, I don't know many jobs that I think I would care for less than being an air traffic controller. Not that I know a lot about it, and Brother Gary's done it for years and years. But can you just imagine? You know, all you talk about all the lives at stake. Talk about all the you talk about pressure, brother. And I was just thinking about it. You know, take some kid and run him up to the air traffic control center, and put him on a console, and he has no training. He doesn't know anything about any of the buttons or any of the switches or what any of those little blips mean. He's just going to follow his heart. Anybody can see that is an absolute disaster before it even gets started. You know, you take some dweeb and give him the title of head nuclear engineer at some nuclear power plant. He has nothing higher than eighth grade math. And he's going to go in there and be the head of everything. Can anybody see that this is an absolute disaster in the making? He's going to go in and just do what feels right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now, you know what I learned from this? This prodigal son, he decides he's going to go follow his heart. He's going to go on his journey. He's going to do it his way. It just seems that I should do this. It's just time for me to leave home under my circumstances. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a better way. Does anybody question that it was disastrous? Can anybody question it was disastrous? Well, it was. All right, there's a better way. And would you like to know what the better way is? Would you like to know what the prodigal son's alternative was? The way of the Lord. All right? First of all, a bestowed provision. Secondly, a high calling. Thirdly, the way of the Lord. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are many, many, many men that think they know an alternative way. And I'm telling you here, there is no alternative. Not one that counts. Not one that delivers the goods. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it says in a couple other places, it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. The prodigal son made a series of horrible mistakes. He decided he could commandeer his portion. He decided to sally forth with a vulgar and a vile motive, just to sin. He decided that he could take his journey. Besides that, notice verse 13 again. It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That was a mistake. The Bible says that he wasted his substance. In verse 14, it says that he spent all. In verse 30, his brother said, he has devoured that living. Now, you know what that is, folks? That is a vain waste. And how many folks do you know that, thinking they knew what they were doing, departed from the Lord and spent not just money and not just substance, but years and strength and effort, sometimes their health, sometimes their family. And it was all for what? It was a waste. Now, folks, we go there by self-will. We go there in sin. We go there not because we're stupid. We go there, though, because we're foolish. And we think we know what we're doing. But we don't know what we're doing. Not really. You can come out of my bedroom in the middle of the night to go down the hallway to the bathroom. And if you're not careful, you're going to fall right over my 100-pound dog. Brother Keck, last week, he almost had a heart attack in the middle of the night because he gets up to go to the restroom and stumbles over this gigantic furry thing, and he wasn't sure what it was. Well, you see, the deal is, she can see you in the dark, but you can't see her. And she thinks that you can see her. Well, folks, I guess we think that we can see in the dark, but you can't see in the dark. You can't see in the dark. And light is coming to this world and men love darkness rather than light. You know, this prodigal's one of the prodigal's terrific mistakes was vain waste. And I have an alternative for you. It is the same alternative that he could have taken in his own father's house. You know what it was? It wasn't vain waste. It was eternal investment. It was eternal investment. You know what Jesus Christ says? He says, I give unto them eternal life. I give it to them. It's theirs forever. You know what he said? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know what he said? He said, lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. What you do in service for Jesus Christ is an eternal investment. And what you do for yourself here with regard to material portions and just your petty happiness and desires and wants, it is not eternal. It is vain. It is waste. So you have no right to talk to me that way. Well, but the Lord does. Doesn't He? Does the Lord have a right to talk to you? He made you. He feeds you. He grants you your health. He grants you your liberty. Why, folks, the money and the strength that you have to go out and sin, He gave it to you. He has a right to tell you the truth. I want you to see something else here. Look down in verse 14. I'm going to be done here pretty quick. I'm going to be done. I wanted to talk to you, though, seriously about the prodigal's alternative. In verse 14, he says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Notice in that verse it says that when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land. Now, you know, that looks pretty innocent. I don't know. Sometimes these days people don't understand spiritual principles very well. One spiritual principle that is just as real as gravity is that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Right? One of the principles is that the wages of sin, if you sin, you die a little more. The wages of sin is death. This guy goes out, lives it up, according to the Scriptures, with harlots and wastes his substance and devours his living and lives it up, who knows, a year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't really know and don't really can't really figure out how it works. But he goes out and sows this crop of sin. Then there comes a day that an interesting thing happens. And the interesting thing that happens is that something goes badly wrong in his life that seems completely unrelated to what he's been doing. After all, what in the world difference? What in the world does a famine have to do with the gals that I've been partying with? Except, if you're a Bible believer, you know that indeed they are related. You know, one of the mistakes this kid made was he went out and sowed a crop, and now he has to pay iniquity's price. Right? And you know, again, I'm telling you, folks, you know, you look at life sometimes and you can't figure out why this goes wrong and why that goes wrong. And the difference is that you have a God that's alive, and there is a God that is alive, and there's a God that lives, and that God repays you sometimes in things in ways that you won't connect. You understand? Now, you know, this guy made a terrible, terrible mistake. He sowed a crop, and he had to reap iniquity's reward. Now, you know what the alternative is? The alternative is the servant's reward. You know what he could have done? He could have stayed home. He could have stayed home, and putting this in Christian terms, he could have stayed in fellowship with his Father and continued to invest spiritually and eternally with his Father. And the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The prodigal's alternative was a servant's reward. Why, folks, down in verse 15, he winds up in fool's company. Why, he has to join himself to a citizen of that country, and before it's all over with, he's fellowshipping with pigs in the pig pen. Well, folks, he could have stayed home and had unbroken fellowship with his Father. In fact, he had to go back and reestablish fellowship with his Father. And folks, that's great news. Isn't it good news that God will receive you back? Well, yes, it is. But there's one other thing I wanted to point out to you. Go down to verse 30. Now, this is while the party's going on. And the older brother's having a little bit of problem adjusting to the idea that the younger boy is back after all these years of being a wasteful, wanton, a sinner. But in verse 30, he says, but as soon as this, thy son, the father's son, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And folks, who of us wouldn't kill the fatted calf for a wayward son? Right? So, don't misunderstand. That's a wonderful thing. But in verse 31, and he said unto him, the father says to the son, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, this is the son that stayed home, right? Now, the father divides out the younger son's portion, and he goes and wastes his portion. And now, when he comes back, he gets a fatted calf. The older son's having a little bit of a problem dealing with that in his own mind and heart, and goes and talks to his father. And his father said, don't you understand, all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Now, you know what? That prodigal son goes away and comes home. His father receives him, gives him a ring, gives him a robe, and kisses him, and loves him, and throws a barbecue. And for all we know, they lived happily ever after. And he was glad to be home. Perhaps he found a wife and had a batch of kids and rebuilt his life. I hope that he did. But I want you to see that the prodigal son forfeited a good many possibilities. Okay? Because when the elder son came to the father, the father didn't say, well, we're going to divide up the property again. No, he said, it's all yours. He says, all that I have is thine. The prodigal son didn't get any more. Okay? You know, one of the great mistakes that the prodigal son made was that he forfeited a good many possibilities. Now, you know, it's a blessing that God will receive you back. It's a blessing that God will receive you out of any circumstances, as long as you come contrite, as long as you come humble, as long as you come repentant. If you'll believe in God's Son, God will receive you. But you know what? Don't waste time. Because every day, every hour that you fritter away, there are things that you will not be able to recover. This prodigal son could not recover what he wasted. You know what his alternative was? His alternative was infinite possessions. I don't just mean, in this case, in this story, yes, material possessions probably. But I'm talking about our relationship with our Father now. Infinite possessions. If it's true, you staying in fellowship with God, if it's true, you staying true to the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's true that He says, all that I have is thine. Well, brother, He has everything. And that means when I get out of here, for all intents and purposes, it's all mine. You know the bummer about that? After I get to heaven and have the mind of Christ, I won't be materialistic. So I might have it all, but I won't care then. But do you understand? Ladies and gentlemen, this prodigal son made horrific mistakes. But he had some wonderful alternatives. And it's a real shame that more people won't receive those alternatives. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you tonight for, again, the pleasure of seeing one of our own graduate. We wish him the best, the rest of the Olsons. We pray here tonight you might touch somebody's heart. Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ is beyond words as far as being wonderful. And Lord, we all have been wasteful. We have all been prodigal at one point or another. We earnestly pray and we earnestly ask that you would deal with folks' hearts here tonight, both Christians, perhaps even non-Christians alike. Father, if there's anybody here that's unsaved, pray that you would deal with their heart about their need for a Savior, for Jesus Christ, the one that bled and died and suffered in their place. We pray that you'd help them see it in simplicity and in sincerity. They would not be confused by many of the outward things that folks could be confused by. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a minute. We're going to go stand and sing in just a second. If you've never trusted Christ, let me urge you to know that Jesus Christ paid the price for you, that all the sin you've sown, all the mistakes that you've made, have been paid for at Calvary. There's been a provision made. It's there. But there's a gift that has to be received. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Would you please see that Jesus Christ is present and beckons for you to come? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Lord never intended for this to be muddled. He never intended for this to be complicated. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is as simple as that. Father, we pray that you'll bless the invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 393. Let's stand. Number 393.
We're going to dismiss and go back and get some food. As soon as the ladies get it ready, we'll pray here and now to that end so that we don't have to pause later and try to get everybody's attention and pray. Appreciate you folks being here tonight. It's been a good day today. And try not to make a mess of the carpet, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're appreciative of what you've allowed us to partake in here today. We pray that you'll bless the food, bless the fellowship of these good folks that came out tonight. Again, we ask for your benevolent care over Darlene and the kids, Paul in particular, Father, as he embarks on a little bit of a new journey here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.